has given us reason to sing and to sing forever. That song said he's given us a song that the angels cannot sing. So nobody's going to sing your song for you. We've got to sing it ourselves, giving praise and glory to him. Why don't we do that one more time? Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. Our heart is full because our souls are free through the power of the cross that you have bought for us. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you for the forgiveness that you've given to us, oh God. We thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Lots of good praise songs happening tonight. I think if you look at the word glory, or to glorify, or to give glory to the Lord, that word in Scripture actually means heavy. So God's going home fat tonight, because we're just pouring praise on him. We're just making him heavier with praise tonight. I want to add my praise unto the Lord. I want to glorify him. I want to honor him. Yeah, go ahead. It's all right. It's the overflow of a forgiven soul that wants to praise him. Oh, we're not going to carry your glory, for we'll be crushed underneath it, but we're going to pour it on you, Jesus. We're going to give you the glory. We're going to ascribe glory and honor to your name tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm thankful for what I feel in the house of the Lord tonight, and appreciate the opportunity to preach his word. And so I do come to you with his word. I'm going to go ahead and let you be seated. Not going to read a formal text as such. They'll be scattered all throughout, though, I promise. I'm preaching from the book, okay? Brother Eric can testify. I gave him a long list of scriptures. They tease me back there, but it's all in good fun, and I appreciate it. It's something most of us can do. In fact, those that can do it every day. However, even though we do it every single day and we can do it almost without thinking, we likely have no recollection of learning and mastering this skill. Unlike riding a bike, shooting a hoop, driving a car, baking a cake, you probably have no memory of the first time you did this activity. Though it's one of the most anticipated moments of your life, you don't even remember it. But just in case we're in the presence of a perfect memory, let me ask, who remembers their first step? Sean, you do not. You goof. Who remembers learning to walk? None of us. Something that we learned to do well before we were able to fully remember. No doubt your first step was a pretty big deal around your house. Unless, of course, you have more than two older siblings. By the third kid, the celebration pivots from, she took her first step, to, now can you go get mommy a pillow? But regardless of how mistreated you were due to birth order, learning to walk is a pretty big accomplishment. For those born after 2005, it's likely your first steps were captured on video via a phone and uploaded to Facebook or other forms of social media so the world could celebrate with you. Because learning to walk is a big deal. You not only learn how to do it, but you learn how to be successful doing it. For instance, unless they were trying to win America's Funniest Home Video, when your parents were teaching you to walk, they did not put you in socks and set you loose on a hardwood floor. Because socks and hardwood don't make a great combo, even for those of us that have been after this a while. You probably didn't learn to walk on a gravel road or an unmowed field or a sheer cliff, hopefully. In fact, if you want to see a nervous daddy or a panicked mother or a very nervous pastor, just set a toddler loose learning to walk on a cobblestone street and you'll get what you came for, high entertainment. because some terrain is not conducive to learning how to walk. You weren't set loose in a room littered with Legos, toys, and other debris. No, the path was cleared. There was distance from sharp corners, and a soft landing spot was guaranteed learning how to walk. One learns fairly quickly that where you walk and how you walk is important. And for these reasons, and probably others, it's fairly easy to see why walking is a metaphor for our relationship with God. Another reason that walking would be an appropriate metaphor is because it's something that we do daily, so it just fits. It's why there's songs in our repertoire like, "Just to walk with Him means everything to me." Or, "Just a closer walk with Thee." The end of that chorus says, "Daily walking close to Thee." One Southern gospel song humorously says it like this. I love Southern gospel for this reason. "Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks." Say it 5 times fast, instant Holy Ghost all over the room. "Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks." I love that song. Thank you. I love Southern gospel. I knew I'd get an amen from Sister Keel. When we started this journey of life, though, we didn't begin on the right path. The psalmist states the reality of humanity when he said of himself, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." None of us started out walking with the Lord. We were all born into sin. We started out facing the wrong direction. It's not that we weren't even walking after the Lord. We weren't even pointed at Him. Similar, that is, to the condition of Israel when Isaiah prophesied to them in chapter 30, verse 21. He said to them, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." To an Israel that was choosing to do their own thing, to live by their own law, and walk by their own direction, we see a merciful, compassionate, and loving God say, "No, this is the way. Walk this way." But their back was to Him, and that's why the voice was behind them, saying, this wasn't a voice behind them of encouragement. This was a voice behind them beckoning to them, "Hey, you're walking the wrong way. Walk this way." Their back was to Him, but He pursued them like He did with us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were walking our own path, living by our own law, and doing our own thing, He was pursuing us relentlessly. He was beckoning to us, "Walk this way. That path is full of darkness, and at the end of that path is death. That path offers you no hope, no solution, and no happiness. Walk this way." 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 talks about our initial steps and where we walk. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Most of the songs tonight have referenced this in some way or another. We've been called out of darkness. We no longer walk in darkness, but now we've been called into His marvelous light. We no longer walk alone or walk with the enemy of our soul in control, but now we walk in the light as He is in the light. We walk in His marvelous light. Paul said, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." He was saying, you followed something different than God. You didn't walk the right way. prior to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, that's how we used to walk. Bound in sin, blinded by the god of this world. We were hindered. We had no hope. We had no future. We were lost, full of shame, guilt, and sin. But God, Ephesians chapter 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, even when we were walking the wrong way, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Walking according to our sinful nature had caused us to fall. It was tantamount to walking on a hardwood floor in your stocking feet. Walking according to our sinful nature had caused us to fall. But that verse says that salvation has raised us up. He picked us up. He put us on the right path, because where you walk and how you walk matters. Once we've been saved, we've been filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, we don't walk the same anymore. I don't walk the way that I used to walk, because 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The old path is gone, and I'm on a new path, and I'm bound for glory, and I'm following Jesus. I'm walking with the Lord. He changed us. He made us new. An experience with Jesus Christ, if you've never had one, it will completely change your life. It's a promise. It's a guarantee. It will change your life. Paul said, we rise to walk in newness of life. We walk a new walk when we walk with the Lord. Your life is different when you begin to walk with the Lord, when you walk his way. Paul speaks to this in Ephesians chapter 5. I kind of unofficially dubbed it the walk chapter, because he says walk several times throughout that chapter. But in chapter 5, verse 8, this is what he said. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. So here's the command. Walk as children of light. You used to walk in darkness, and that's true of every single one of us. Nobody's exempt. Nobody's been saved too long that you didn't used to walk in darkness. Nobody's had the Holy Ghost so long that past is no longer there. Now, we know it's been covered by the blood, but I think it's good for us once in a while to remember, hey, I used to be lost in sin. I used to have no hope but God. You used to walk a certain way, but now there should be a distinction and separation from how we used to live to how we live now. From how we used to walk to how we walk now. Because where you walk and how you walk is important. Where we walk is in the light of the Lord. And how we walk, Scripture has several things to say, has several ways of communicating God's message of walk this way. The first is Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. I love these verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So Scripture here, I am going to say, is telling us, walk free. You've been made free by the power of the Spirit, so now just walk free. You don't have to walk bound by sin and bound by addictions or bound by depression and oppression. No, the scripture says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And when we walk in the Spirit, we have that liberty in our lives. So walk free tonight. If the enemy has tried to lock you behind bars of uncertainty or maybe bars of anxiety or bars of addiction, I'm here to declare that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You can walk free tonight. You don't have to walk bound anymore. John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Satan would try to load you down with the baggage of guilt and depression and oppression and condemnation and judgment. But according to Romans 8, that's not God's desire for you. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. You can't walk very fast or very far when you're weighted down with things. Just ask anybody in an airport. You can't go very far and you can't go very fast when you're weighted down with things. And I don't know about you, but I want to make it all the way on this highway to heaven. I want to make it all the way to my destination. So I want to walk free of everything the Lord says I can get rid of. So if there's any condemnation, if there's anything clouding or weighting me down, I want to get rid of that and walk free so I can walk as far as he wants me to walk. God wants you to walk free tonight. And as we walk free, we're also encouraged to walk closely. James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, draw nigh to God close, and he will draw nigh to you. On this road of life, as we are studying and reading and focusing on this year at APC, we follow Christ on this road of life. He's our guide, if you will. And when you're following a guide, it's a good idea. Now, you may be a maverick, but it's a good idea to stay close to that guide. If you're following someone in a car, too much distance between you and that car can cause some panic and cause some problems. Well, maybe it would have before the days of GPS on your phone. My dad likes to tell the story of elder brother Trimble. I don't know where it may have been Memphis, I'm not sure, but he was following behind somebody. He didn't know how to get there. This was long before the days of GPS on your phone. He didn't know how to get there, so he was following someone, and that someone, I don't know who it is, Dad was so kind to protect them, they kind of, when it was turning orange, not quite red, but not all the way yellow, the light turned red as the lead car passed through, and poor Brother Trimble was left to run a red light, and he ran it, and the cop saw him do it, pulled him over. My dad just laughs when he tells the next part. When the cop got to his car and he rolled down the window, Brother Trimble, now look what you've done! Now look what you've done! And he's just screaming because he's panicking. He doesn't know where he's going in his lead car. And to hear him tell the story, the cop just said, well, you have a nice night. And he went, got rid of that panic-stricken Brother Trimble as quickly as he could. But when you're following somebody, the idea is you want to follow close. Because you don't want to go somewhere they're not going. You don't want to miss a turn. And when we're walking with the Lord, he says, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. I want to be drawn close to the Lord. I want to walk closely with him because I don't want to miss a step that he wants me to take. I don't want to take a step that he's not taking. So the encouragement tonight is don't allow there to be any distance between you and the Lord. Walk closely with him. Pray every day. That'll do it. Read his word. Be faithful to his house as you are tonight. Don't allow there to be any distance between you and your guide, the one that we're following. Walk closely with the Lord. Paul, again, Ephesians chapter 5. I told you he says it a lot. Verse 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God. It's what we're endeavoring to do this year at APC. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Paul instructs the church to walk in love, letting love be the motivation for every word that we speak, every interaction that we have. Two things. Walking in love means walking away from some things and walking towards others. When we're walking in love, we'll walk away from arguments and hostility and anger. But it also means walking towards some things, like the needs of others. We've probably all been guilty of seeing somebody on the street who is in need and walking another direction, trying to sidestep the need. But if we're following Christ, he walked towards the need. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14 says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion or love or empathy toward them. And he healed their sick. He saw their need, and you could probably say he felt their pain, but he didn't walk away or walk around, but he walked towards them. And when we walk in love, we'll walk towards somebody in need, to care for them, to have compassion on them. Paul tells the Philippian church, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Not just simply being concerned about me and how my life is going and how much money I have or if I'm fed, but thinking on the things of others, having an others mentality. When we walk with the Lord, when we follow him, we'll follow him by walking in love towards those that have needs. Another way that Scripture instructs us to walk is to walk humbly. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Walk like you know you need him. Not with pride, assuming you know what's best or that you've got all things worked out. Recognize that you need him. Another Southern gospel song. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I need the Lord. I need his leadership and his direction and his care and his compassion in my life. I want to walk humbly. I don't want to walk in pride, and I don't want to walk in selfishness. I want to walk in humility as I walk with the Lord, because that's the way that he walked. Again, Philippians chapter 2, it said, he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The one that we follow walked humbly. I want to walk like I know that I need him. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. I need the Lord. I need his help. And I want to walk humbly, recognizing that he's the shepherd and I'm just the vulnerable sheep. Scripture says, walk this way. And it tells us to also walk in peace. I see this as both a commandment and an opportunity. It's a commandment with others, like in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, where it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace. Walk in peace with others. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Paul says in Colossians 3, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That word rule there has the connotation of an umpire or a referee that didn't get a hand toss call. I know, I said it, it's so bad. But that referee has the power to, in baseball, I'm going to go back to baseball because I don't know hockey real well. So the umpire has the power to call safe or to call out. And so let the peace of God rule there just literally means let the peace of God be the umpire in your life. To say, no, that agitation needs to get out, or that attitude of peace is safe. So let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And I recognize that with relationships with others, this can be difficult. This is not an easy walk to walk. But Scripture says to walk in peace, to follow peace with all men. Don't follow the agitation of your flesh. Follow peace. Follow peace with all men. But it's also an opportunity, not just a commandment, it's an opportunity when we think of walking in peace through circumstances. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. His peace. When we walk through, we're going to walk through troubles. That's just life. We're going to walk through hurt and pain. That's just life. We're not exempt just because we're walking with the Lord. But because we're walking with the Lord, we can walk in peace even through those circumstances, even through that pain and grief. Psalm 138 verse 7 says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou wilt revive me. As if that trouble had knocked me clean out, had made me pass out, or maybe even killed me. But the word of God says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. He will bring me back. Though life may knock me down on this walk and journey of life, God is there with me in this walk with him to revive me and to bring me back up. Psalm 23 says something very similar and very familiar. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm going to walk through some valleys. I'm going to walk through some grief. I'm going to walk through some pain and trouble and struggle and trials and temptations. But I have the promise that when I walk that way, if I'm walking with the Lord, I'm walking with him, and he's my shepherd, and he's my peace, and he's my comfort, and he's my helper, and he'll never leave me, and he'll never forsake me. He's always with me. Isaiah 43:2 reiterates the same thing. When you pass through the waters, when you're walking through deep waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Whatever situation you find yourself walking in, you may think, I'm walking in this, that must mean I'm not walking with the Lord because I got into some trouble or I've got into some adversity. That's not necessarily the case. Because when we're walking with the Lord, he may lead us through those times, or he will lead us, but he may allow those times in our lives so that we go back a couple and we walk more closely to him. But he's promised us that we can walk in peace during those times. He says it over and over again, I will be with you. We do not walk this walk alone. And finally, on the walk with the Lord. He's saying, walk this way when he tells us to walk in faith. Walk in faith, a confident trust in the one whom we're following. Psalm 56 and verse 9, when I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. This I know. Did David have enemies? Yeah. Scripture says he had enemies. But he also had faith. On this journey, David faced a few enemies, but he didn't face them by himself. Think Goliath. He faced them in the power and with the name of the Lord. And he had faith and confidence that the God who had helped him defeat a lion and a bear was also going to help him defeat the giant that was presently in front of him. And we have the same opportunity tonight. We may face some lions and bears, and we may face some Goliaths in our life, but we face them with the power and the help of the Lord, and we can walk in faith knowing that he will help us and he will take care of us. On the Sea of Galilee, Peter would learn a very powerful lesson about walking with Jesus. He found out that following Jesus would require him to walk in faith. Scripture says in Matthew 14 that the ship was in the middle of the sea. It was tossed with waves. The wind was contrary to them. But late one night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Here he is, the one that we're following, the one Peter was following, walking on the sea, not on the seashore, and not in the ship. He was walking on the water. And when the disciples saw it, they, of course, were very troubled. They thought it was a ghost. They cried out in fear. But Jesus spoke to them, and he said, don't be afraid. It's me. Peter said, Lord, if it is you, bid me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come, follow me. Walk with me. Now, Peter had only ever walked dirt roads, probably rocky roads. Some stage, he had never at this point done what he was about to do. No one except Jesus had done what he was about to do. This was a step of faith for Peter. The step out of the boat was a huge step of faith. I know the step onto the moon was a giant leap for mankind or however it goes, but that step out of the boat was probably bigger than that step onto the moon. Nobody'd ever done this before. And the Lord said, come, or walk with me. And Peter, when he was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, I know that he looked away, and he took a little dip, but he looked back at Jesus, and he saved him, and they both walked back to the boat. Point I'm going to focus on right here is that when he was following Jesus, he did what Jesus did. And when we walk with Jesus and when we take a step of faith, we can walk in the miraculous too. We can pray for the sick and they be healed because we're following Jesus. And he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And so when we're following Jesus, if he prompts you to do something or if he lays on your heart to go and pray for somebody, you better go and pray for him, because when we're following Jesus, we can follow in faith and we can experience the miraculous in our lives the same way that Peter did. I want to walk in faith. I want to walk in faith believing, not believing in sickness and not believing in disease, but believing in the name that's above every name, the name that can heal all disease, the name that can save any individual. I want to walk in faith. And so as you walk with the Lord, walk confidently, knowing in whom you have believed. Walk through storms, knowing He can calm them. Walk through sickness, knowing He can heal them. Walk through loneliness, knowing He will never leave. It's a walk of faith. We can walk through deserts, knowing that He will provide. I'm telling us, walk this way. Walk in faith with God. Have faith in God. When you break it down, walking simply consists of a sequence of steps. One step, then another, and another, and I'm walking. But it starts with just a single step, a step toward God. And maybe nothing glamorous that warrants much attention, but it's a step of faith here and a step of faith there, and all of the sudden you turn around and realize you've got a walk of faith. A small step of peace here and another, and all of a sudden you're walking in peace. A step towards righteousness followed by another. Again, it may seem small. Nobody's there to video it or post it on social media, but you're walking. You're taking steps faithfully, one after another, after another. Sometimes our natural mind plays tricks on us and tries to convince us that a walk with God is so much harder than it actually is. We can tend to grandize what it means to walk with the Lord. But if you break it down, our relationship with God and the success of it is simply one small step, then another, and another, and another. And on it goes. A deep and intimate relationship with God is not accomplished with one step. It's a series of repeated steps taken faithfully and consistently. And we'll trip ourselves up by thinking otherwise. But what if in this walk with the Lord, you mess up? What if you stumble? I'll say to you, don't be discouraged by a misstep. Because in the same way that a single step in the right direction doesn't mean we've arrived, a single step in the wrong direction doesn't disqualify you from running this race. Remember, walking is a repeated sequence of steps. Mistakes will happen. Just go ahead and be relieved. Mistakes are gonna happen. None of us are immune from those mistakes. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The important thing is not what you've done, but what you do next. The important thing is not what you've done, not the wrong step you've taken. The important thing is what you do next. I feel the Holy Ghost reaching for somebody right now. I feel Him talking into your spirit. You've disqualified yourself from this walk with the Lord because you're not perfect and because you take wrong steps sometimes. But He sent me to tell you, it's not in what you've done, it's in what you do next. What will your next step be? Do you stay where you are? Do you remain in that fallen position? Or do you allow God and His grace and His mercy to pick you back up, to dust you off, to stabilize you and get you started again, taking steps? I missed a day of prayer, but I took another step. I smoked a cigarette after quitting, but I took another step. I judged unfairly or I criticized harshly, but I took another step with Jesus. Our Father, the one who is teaching us to walk, is rich in mercy. The Bible says His grace is from everlasting to everlasting, meaning His grace will outlast every sin you commit. His grace is sufficient for thee. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because it's not important what you did, it's important what you do next. Steps are important because they represent the small things that we do consistently and faithfully that over time result in a walk that follows Jesus. I invite you to stand tonight. A journey of 1,000 miles is a great accomplishment. And by comparison, a single step seems insignificant. 1,000 miles is roughly the distance between St. Louis and Boston. A single step for a male is roughly 30 inches, for a female, 26.4 inches. Just think, 1,000 miles compared to 30 inches. Sometimes following Jesus feels like that 1,000-mile journey. It seems impossible. Follow Jesus, imitate Him, look, think, act, speak like Him. Have you met me? But when you boil it all down, 1,000-mile journey is just a sequence of single steps. Maybe it seems impossible to walk this way, to walk in love or to walk free or to walk in peace or to walk in faith. I'm opening this altar tonight and inviting you to come talk to the Lord about it, to come seek Him and ask Him what your next step should be. Maybe you've never made the initial step towards God, so I invite you, come and repent. We can baptize you in Jesus' name, and you can be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But let's come tonight, and let's seek Him. We need Him. I can't walk without You holding my hand, Lord. I need You every day, every hour. I need You more and more every day in my life. Lord, help me to walk. Help me to pick myself up. Help me to allow You to pick me up and dust me off and stabilize me and help me to make the next step. God, I may be walking in confusion right now, but You can help me. You can plant my feet right where they need to be. You can lead me and direct me. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. He will order your steps. He will plant your feet where they need to be. Let's seek Him tonight. God, what do You want us to do next? What is our next step? Help us, Jesus.